Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in this land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I can't express how gratifying it is for me that so many of you greeted me with, "Ready for part two." As I was the one who messed up, and I knew I had two in a row this month, and actually I'd misplaced in my mind which two in a row it was. So that was here last week, and I'm here this week and next week, so I do have two in a row. But this will be part two of the one I did 2 weeks ago, so there you have it. And don't feel like you lose out if you didn't hear the one 2 weeks ago. It follows onto it, but it just all brings it all together, because we've been reading this sixth chapter of John all month, and it's really about the whole thing, not just about those 2 weeks in the middle. In fact, what I left you with last time was a song by the late, great, and beloved Earl Page, who was rector of Trinity Church in Gainesville, Florida, back in my youth. Who wrote a wonderful song, "Come, take of his bread, eat that you may live in him. Come, drink of his wine, that he may live in you." Which really sums up what the two parts of the service of the word, the bread, so to speak, the nourishment, and the wine, the consecrating sacrament, that he may dwell in us. And so the pickup is that which was the first verse of this week's scripture, gospel, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Since I was telling my story last time, I'll add one more part to that from my story. When I was a freshman in college, I got to school and, you know, boy, it was great fun, and it was particularly fun because I didn't have to get up and go to church. You know how it is when you first go away to college and you're not with your family that expects that of you anymore. You kind of tend to say, well, now I'm on my own, I'll do what I want to do. And so I did. I think maybe in the first couple of months of my freshman year, I found the Episcopal Chapel one time. But then my dad found me a job. And even though college was a lot more reasonable back then, my dad finding me a job said to me, you know, you're getting your way paid, so least you can do is, you know, take the job that, you know, your parents find for you. Only problem was, the job was a relief clerk in a motel on all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And that's when I started missing going to church. And so I found the Episcopal Chapel and their midweek service at noon every Wednesday. And as often as not, oh, and by the way, the chaplain there was one John Talbert, whom some of you know from his being rector and my boss at Good Shepherd, Lookout Mountain. We go way back. And as often as not, when I would show up, if I was the only one, John would say, do you want to have a service or you want to just go to lunch? Because without a congregation, without a spirit-filled body, as it were, the priest is not supposed to have a private solo communion. And so, usually I would say, don't bother just for me, let's go to lunch. But if there were at least two or three gathered in his name, there was he in the midst of us. And so we would have a nice, quiet service. And that's when the sacrifice of Christ started to become real for me, because when Lent rolled around and Holy Week came up, Holy Week, we had the midweek communion every day. And I fell into the habit of daily communion in Holy Week. And if you were around back then and you followed that practice as well, you may know that, different from nowadays with this prayer book, that required a reading of the whole Passion according to a different gospeler each day of the 4 weeks, 4 days before Good Friday. So that service became long, but it also became an eye-opener for me to see what Jesus did as one of us in his Passion, in his death, and subsequently in his resurrection. And so, you see, the second part of the service is, if the first part is about the service of the Word, that is to say, the nourishment, the bread, the teaching, the second part is about the table. It's about the consecration, the making holy of the bread and the wine into Jesus' body and blood. Now, unlike the old joke, and I won't name any names, you know the difference, but you know the difference between transubstantiation and consubstantiation and all that kind of stuff, right? When if you took your history classes back in your youth or in your college days, you know the Protestants, the Episcopalians, and the Catholic believe Jesus changed the wine into his blood, but some of the more Protestant groups believe he changed the wine into grape juice. There's reason for that, and I'm not really knocking them, but there's also reason why we use wine and not grape juice. It has to do with the story of Jesus' first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he changed the water into wine. And the stewards who saw it said, "This is special because most hosts will give the good wine first, and as people drink more, then switch to the more watered-down stuff, because who's going to notice? But you have saved the good stuff for last." Well, that's really the way it is. The good stuff for last is what Jesus gave in the sacrifice, the shedding of his blood for all of us. And the transformation of the water into wine is to say that God changes the normal, the ordinary, into the special, into the spiritual. And there's a reason we call alcoholic beverages, wine in particular, spirits. Because when you drink them, they become a change agent in your body. You know, did y'all get to see in the Chattanooga Times jokes a couple of weeks ago where they said after a holiday, the cops were waiting outside of the good old boys' bar. You see that one? And sure enough, the guy came out and found his way to his truck and got in his truck and swerved down the road, and the police pulled him over immediately. He got right out and said, "Give me that test." And he took the test and he passed with flying colors. He said, "How'd you do that?" He said, "Well, I'm just the designated decoy." You see, we use spirits because God's spirit mingles with our spirit. The blood of Christ mingling with our blood is a change agent. We normally say the blood of Christ is a washing away of our sins. And it is, but that's a change agent from our normal way of being to our new way of being. From our plain way of acting to a holy way of acting. And the change agent changes us forever. Now, sure, you can go to church every week. You can go every week, Tuesday and Sunday. You know, and you can just take it and not even think a thing about it, and sure enough, it's just the same as it ever was. Or you can say, "God, be in my head and in my understanding. Be in mine eyes and in my looking. Be in my mouth and in my speaking. Be in my heart and in my thinking. Change me to be the power of your love in the world." And in today's gospel, the heart of it, the very heart of it, is that wonderful verse 63 where he says, "It is the Spirit that gives life." And Jesus' words are spirit and life, are nourishment and holiness. For the main change is that it helps us to walk as children of the light, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And it's no mistake that we are called to do that together. And after we confess our sins and reach out in peace and love to each other, well, it reminds me of what I want to make a note of this. One of our great political leaders of the past several years, John McCain, who died yesterday, did when he was a captive in Vietnam and tortured. But when he came out, he worked for the normalization of relations between us and our former enemies. He was changed somehow by that sacrifice that he made, so that there could be change in the way we relate to one another. There's an old story about a new preacher came to the church. And sure enough, he got up and preached just this wonderful sermon on the first Sunday that he was there. And everybody just loved it and slapped him on the back and said, "Preacher, you are a breath of fresh air to our congregation. Just keep it up." So the next week, when everybody came, he preached exactly the same sermon. And they all kind of scratched their heads and thought, "Well, yeah, maybe he just wanted to accentuate a point." So they kind of let it slide. And the next week they came and he preached exactly the same sermon. And some of the elders kind of pulled him aside and said, "Preacher, we appreciate your great sermon. It was really wonderful, but why have it three times in a row?" He said, "Well, when I start seeing it affecting change in your lives, then I'll change my sermon." You can't come to this table continually and continually and continually and expect to go out and be the same people that you were before. Now, you can do that. You're allowed to do that. You're even encouraged to do that if that's where you are. But is that enough? Makes me think of, I was once privileged to take a seminar from the great Presbyterian Old Testament teacher, Walter Brueggemann. And he said, what it all boils down to is your as. You've got to bet your as. You don't walk as if you were a child of the light. You walk as a child of the light. You don't listen to a sermon as if the words might be helpful. You listen to a sermon to see what you can do to make it be as you would be in Jesus' name. And likewise, you take the bread and wine that you may have eternal life, yes, but more importantly, that you may be changed into his likeness, with the power of his love and the hope that through you his will be done. One of my favorite prayers about that is from the marriage ceremony. I mentioned the marriage at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. In the marriage ceremony, one of the prayers is, "May their wills be so knit together in your will, and their spirits in your spirit, that they may live and grow together in your love." So to close with a song, like I usually do, song written by a former Roman Catholic priest who became an Episcopal priest and wrote this several years ago. I did not know him well, but it goes like this. Every time we take this bread to be his body and declare his blood is in this cup, we proclaim his death and resurrection, and our hope that he will raise us up. For this bread is food for all our weakness, and this cup, forgiveness for our sins, saving meal by which he makes us faithful to his love till he comes once again. One of the names for the Holy Eucharist, which comes from the word thanksgiving, or Holy Communion, which comes from the sense that it brings us together, is the Mass. Because just as important as all that we do beforehand, if the service of the Word ends with the confession and the peace, the Mass ends with the challenge to go out and serve the world, to take our changedness and go and be charged to represent him in what we do in our life in the world. And so we can sing, as we can pray, every time we take this bread, every time we take your body, I got to get it straight here. Every time we take this bread to be your body and proclaim and declare your blood is in this cup, we proclaim your death and resurrection and our hope that you will raise us up. For your bodies, food for all our weakness, and your blood, forgiveness for our sins, saving meal by which you make us faithful to your love till you come once again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 11 of your bulletin. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of a world to come. Amen.
affairs of the people. For all in peace, we pray for you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work. For this community, the nation, and the world. For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who claim the gospel and are all seeking the truth.
For Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, Brian, our bishop, Pat and Perry, our priest, for all of us as ministers who share in God's work through this parish and in our lives, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret.
Steve, Nicole, Courtney and Gerald, Blair, John and Jim, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Marla, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Jane, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Laura, Taylor, Shay, Ed.
Family of John McCain. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
Send your spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us into your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us into your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's needs.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
For the decision on the foundation of birth of a grandson to George and Young.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Laura Greenwell, Russ Nimig, and Kristen Simon Hickman. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Mike and Hilda Bear. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all those who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, especially John McCain. And Shirley Hickson. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon him.
Put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Central air again. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you. blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
With you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died, rose, and lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.